Welcome to Raising OKC Kids, Conversations with Metro Family in Oklahoma City. I'm Erin Page, and joining me today is Kelsey Pagonis to provide our parent listeners with important summer safety tips. Welcome, Kelsey. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Erin. I'm excited to be here.
I feel like I need to take notes today because I always have a lot of things to learn as a mom of three. Before we get started, I want to tell our listeners a little bit more about you and about the Y. Kelsey is the Vice President of Communications for the YMCA of Greater Oklahoma City. The YMCA is committed to uniting and strengthening the community through the principles of youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. Today, Kelsey is going to share with us some crucial summer safety tips for families so we can enjoy summer fun responsibly. But first, Kelsey, I would love to hear why you love working for the YMCA and how you get to see the organization living out its purpose to strengthen communities and families.
Sure. So those answers are actually one and the same for me. I love working for the Y because of everything we do to strengthen our community and the families and individuals in it. Most people think of the Y as a gym and swim. It's a place where you go to work out. But we are so much more than that. Whether it's our Getting Ahead program that provides those struggling to make ends meet with the education, support, and resources they need to create a more stable environment for their family, all for free. Or it's our Y Clubhouse program that allows us to provide free, high-quality, school-aged care for Oklahoma City Housing Authority families right there on site. We have so many life-changing and life-saving programs at the Y. It is an incredible organization, and I'm just so proud to work for it.
I'm so glad that you shared that because you're absolutely right. The Y is so much more often than people realize, and I feel like the more at Metro Family that we get to work with you guys, the more I learn about all of those incredible programs that you guys offer. You really are saving lives in our community every day. And it's so great to see that.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
So now on to summer safety, where you're also helping keep families safe. When it gets hot, many families, of course, seek water fun, but this is an area that we really need these tips so that we can enjoy these activities safely. I understand that Oklahoma is fourth in the nation in childhood drownings, and one of the ways the Y is helping change those statistics is through your aquatic programs, teaching families safe practices in and around the water. Tell us more about the Y's Safety Around Water program. What all does the program entail, and how can families get involved?
Sure. So Safety Around Water is a YUSA program. So that means it's a national program happening in hundreds of communities across the country. YMCA of Greater Oklahoma City's Safety Around Water program is a coordinated effort between the Y and local schools to bring second graders to our pools once a week during the school day for 8 weeks. If the school participates in Safety Around Water, all second graders are invited to attend. It's absolutely free for the families and the schools. We cover all the costs, including transportation, the program costs itself, the instructor costs, the equipment, everything. We can offer Safety Around Water to outside groups, but those offers are still based on pre-existing groups within the at-risk community. So think apartment complexes, Boys and Girls Clubs, Jack and Jill of America, nonprofit summer camps, like summer camps for children of incarcerated parents, those groups. So every year we have around 1,500-ish students come through this program. 1,500 second graders go through this program. It's incredible. I'd like to say Safety Around Water is a great first step in equipping children with water safety skills. They go through 8 sessions that teach kids what to do if they find themselves in water accidentally. So it starts with basics like floating, blowing bubbles, submerging their face and body, jumping, treading water, like all of those basic water skills. And then they go more in depth. They learn specific techniques that people can use if they find themselves or someone else in an unsafe situation around water. It's a truly incredible program, and it focuses on some really serious technical skills to help reduce the risk of drowning, but the program does weave in fun activities to reinforce those skills and, most importantly, empower the participants.
That is really incredible that you're able to work with that many kids and for free every year.
Yes. Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we run on donations. So if you would like to donate to that program or any of our other life-changing and life-saving programs, you can go to give.ymcaokc.org.
Yeah, that's a great point that you're only able to offer the programs through the generosity of our community members. So when you think about that program and some of the specific things that kids learn, what do parents need to know? What are some of the most important things that parents should be thinking about when it comes to keeping their kids safe around the water this summer?
I'm glad you asked. We actually provide the parents or guardians of the children enrolled in the program. We have them sign a pledge, and that pledge has these six core water safety principles. And so these are good things for all parents to know. The pledge says that we will always watch children around water. You know, if you're going to a birthday party or just a swimming party, and you know, the adults tend to congregate and the kids will play in the pool, there should always be someone watching the children, whether it's every 15 minutes or 30 minutes, there always needs to be someone keeping an eye on them. And so this pledge just helps remind them of the importance of that. The other one is we will stay within arm's reach of young children in the water. So children who may not know how to swim yet, or they're not very strong swimmers, it's really important to be able to at least be able to grab them and bring them close to you should something happen. We will swim near a lifeguard. So if you're at a pool or you're at the beach, try to intentionally swim close to the lifeguard. That's just like a nice tip and a nice pledge to make. The other one is to help a swimmer who's in trouble. We will reach or throw, not go. So the instinct there is to dive in and grab them, but you don't know the situation of the water underneath. There could be a current. It could take you away. You don't want to risk yourself and your life. So we teach that technique of reach or throw, don't go. And we will learn CPR. It's so important for parents to know CPR. CPR works a little differently in kids than it does in adults. There are some more nuances there. And so if you're CPR trained, you learn those nuances and you're so much, you're way more able to protect your kids in the event of a life-threatening situation. Or the kids of others, if you're at a pool and you're CPR certified, that would help me breathe a sigh of relief knowing that there's a parent there who's trained in that. And then lastly, we will enroll children in swim lessons. that's a really big one because Safety Around Water is a wonderful program. Like I said, it's a great first step, but there's a lot to swimming and there's a lot to water safety, and swim lessons can help move that along.
Absolutely. I love that you really involve parents in that process and have them sign that pledge, because I know as a mom, sometimes, especially when my kids were little, I got so hyper-focused on their swim lessons and what they knew that I forgot all the things that I was supposed to do. Yep. When we became pool owners, it came much more apparent to me, especially when you were talking about having a designated adult whose only role is focusing on and watching the kids in the water. That has been a big rule at our household, and definitely helps me feel more safe when we have people over to swim.
Absolutely. That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
And you talked about swim lessons, so I do want to get a little bit more into that. You guys offer tons of swim lesson options at the Y: group lessons, private lessons, and even parent and baby joint swim lessons. When should families begin swimming lessons with their kids? And what are some ways that parents could prepare kids for those lessons, particularly if they already are a little bit apprehensive around the water?
Sure. So 6 months old is the earliest you can enroll a child in swim lessons at the Y. It has a lot to do with physical development and readiness. So they have to have enough core strength to sit up, and they have to be able to keep their heads up without any difficulties. And, you know, 6 months might sound really early. To some, it might sound too early. You know, like, what could a 6-month-old possibly take away from a swimming lesson? But I like to encourage parents and guardians to consider these lessons as part of their long-term water safety strategy. So we know the risk of drowning is reduced the earlier a child learns to swim. So starting with basic water discovery and exploration classes, that's what we recommend. Our parent-child swim lessons are for kids ages 6 months to 3 years. And these are classes where the parent or guardian is in the water with their child. Now, we know not everyone can sign up for parent-child swim lessons. There are, of course, inherent barriers. So taking time off work or out of your weekend to go, that might be inconvenient or just not possible. Cost can be a factor for some. So we've really worked to cater our swim lessons around the swimmer and their family. Our aquatics directors are some of the nimblest folks at the Y. They do a really great job of assessing their community's needs and coordinating programs to meet people where they are in terms of lesson times, class sizes, number of each classes offered. They pour into their programs. And, you know, speaking personally, I feel really lucky that we have such dedicated people on staff. Now, all of that to say, if you're a parent listening to this and you have a kid who is older than three and you're thinking, why didn't I get them involved in swimming sooner? Or I wish I would have signed them up for lessons when they were young. I think the fact that something like that, you know, popped into your head just proves, you know, you're an amazing parent and you're doing a good job and you care deeply for your kids. But also I want to say it's never too late to get them enrolled in lessons. Kids are resilient and they're little sponges. So you can't go wrong enrolling them at any age. We have group lessons for kids 3 to 12 years old. So they'll be swimming with a group of their peers, usually around the same ages, and the same ability level. Skill level. And then we also have private swim lessons for kids 3 years old all the way up to adults. So that's the lesson part of it. You also asked about hesitancy, and that's a normal thing. So as far as hesitancy goes, that's something we see all the time. I think if you're newer to the water, hesitancy is natural. It's a totally different environment than what you're used to with being on land. I think of my own daughter in this example. So she was born a few months before COVID, and we moved to Oklahoma in March 2020. So she was just 4 months old. I had no friends or family here. My husband's in the Air Force, so he was assigned to Tinker. You know, places were closed down. It was tough. I didn't take her out very much, and so we mostly just stayed at home. I started working for the Y the day before her first birthday, and so starting around March of 2021, we began taking her to the pool at Early Wine Park YMCA, which has this really nice family zone for swimming. It has like water toys and activities for kids. It's a neat little pool. And so we would take her there like every weekend. And at first she was not about it. She loved the swimsuit part of swimming. but the water part was a completely different story. And I can't speak to what'll help every family with hesitancy, but I think, you know, each family is different and they have their own dynamic, of course. But for my family, consistency was key. That was the biggest thing that helped. We didn't give up on it. So we would go into the waters ourselves one at a time. We'd show her how much fun it could be. Never pressured her to get in, but it was always something that we wanted her to be in control of. So we'd carry her in as far as she was comfortable with. And just kind of let her lead the process there. And then one day I was sitting on the edge and I had my toes in the water and she came down, sat next to me. She did the same. And she started splashing her feet and she was having so much fun. And she looked over at me and I remember thinking like, oh, she's going to love swimming. And you know, she was only like 18 months at that point. So it had taken like 7 to 8 weeks to get there, which hearing that out loud does sound like a long time, but it was only once a week for like 30 minutes. And so we timed it to where, you know, the YMCA has child watch available. And so you can leave your kids at child watch for up to 2 hours while you go work out. And so we would definitely take advantage of that. And then it closed at 4:00. We would head to the pool around 4:15 and then be out by 4:45. So, you know, that was during open swim times. And I would say taking advantage of those open swim times as a family, those are going to be the best times to get in and start acclimating your child to the water, that and just being consistent with it.
That is such good advice. And what I love about that, and also the joint parent-baby lessons, when you again think, what in the world can my child learn at this age? that level of comfort that kids that age receive when they are doing the activity with their parents, I feel like for me, that was the most beneficial part of that, that they felt more confident and secure from a young age because we were doing the activity together. Yeah. And then as they got a little bit older, it felt like something that they were already accustomed to. And I will agree with you that the hardest part, I think, is the patience on the part of parents. I had one of my sons just did not want to put his face in the water. He was happy to put everything else, but not his face. And it took probably a whole summer of practicing in the pool and in the bathtub for him to kind of get over that. So it was, again, hearing that sounds like a long drawn out process, and it felt long in the midst of it, but that consistency and not pushing him beyond what he felt comfortable with, I think, is what really made that work in the long run.
Yeah, we want positive experiences. We want them to associate swimming and time in the water with positive memories. And so that's part of the reason, like you mentioned, that the parent-child classes are so phenomenal. It's like you're their whole world. And so anything you do with them, they're going to associate it with something positive. And so that's probably a big key to remember.
Okay, so when we're out at the pool or enjoying the summer sun, we also have to keep our skin safe. Mm-hmm. At what age is it okay to begin putting sunscreen on kids? Is there a certain SPF you recommend? How often do we have to reapply? And do you have any great tips for making that sunscreen application feel like less of a chore for everyone?
For those who are listening, I am a redhead. So I know quite a bit about sunscreen and what happens when you don't wear it. So it's been a pretty important part of my parenting journey is getting my kids used to wearing sunscreen. My husband is Greek, actually, so both of them inherited his skin. So it's not something that I think is as front, you know, it's not as top of mind to them as it is to me. But regardless, it's a non-negotiable for us. So let's see. So kids can start wearing sunscreen as early as 6 months old. But I would, of course, encourage you to check with your pediatrician. We use zinc oxide mineral sunscreen in my house. I like the mineral sunscreens. They're great because they have very few ingredients. And, you know, with kids, typically they have pretty sensitive skin. So it's nice to use the fewer ingredients better. My recommendation for SPF would be at least 50. But again, talk to your doctor. They may have a different suggestion. I personally wear at least 70. But again, I am a redhead. So, I feel like I could never be too safe. The sunscreen container itself will usually have instructions for reapplying. Generally, you'll see 2 hours. But if you're swimming or if you're sweating, you want to reapply right after you finish that. So it's easy to forget about reapplying. A hack that I've started to use is I just set a timer when we go out into the sun. So I say like, hey, Siri, set a timer for 2 hours. I hope she didn't just turn on. and then that way I don't have to constantly be checking my phone or worrying about missing that reapplication window. And, you know, as far as like getting the sunscreen on their bodies without much of a hassle, I think it's a rite of passage, right? For kids to dislike putting on sunscreen. I don't think I've ever met a child who's like, oh yeah, please more sunscreen. That's what I live for. But I think if you put yourself in their shoes, you know, outdoor activities are so fun for kids. They spend all day inside in school, sitting down, focusing. And then summer comes and they get to go outside and burn some of that energy and hang out with their friends. And I mean, it's understandable why they see their parents' desire to keep their skin protected as really lame in comparison. I get it. So here are some suggestions that I've got for families who are struggling with this. The first is, I mentioned it earlier, it should be a non-negotiable. So for the way we work with non-negotiables in my house, as we prep the kids about them ahead of time. So if we get an invitation to a bounce house birthday party or a pool party, beforehand, we talk about the fact that will involve wearing sunscreen. when we're driving there, we'll remind them and say, just remember, before you go outside, we'll need to put on some sunscreen. It'll take just a couple of minutes, and then I won't bother you about it for 2 whole hours. we try to reinforce that idea. So That's for like a specific event, to prep them for a specific event. Another suggestion would be to just incorporate sun safety and protection into regular conversations. And you might be thinking, like, well, how? It doesn't seem to naturally come up. The way that it's come up in my house is, you know, my daughter will point to the sun and be like, ooh, it's sunny outside. Or, you know, the meteorologist on the Weather Channel is talking about the UV index. And so just taking the time to explain what that means. So something I say to my four-year-old is, the sun is so great, right? It keeps us warm, it gives us light, and it makes for some really pretty colors in the sky. Even though it's super far away from us, the light it gives off can still hurt our skin. In the same way we put on a helmet when we ride a bike or we wash our blueberries before we eat them, we can do something to keep us safer from the sun's brightness. And that's what sunscreen's for. It acts like a shield. Yes, just like Captain America's shield. It does that for our skin. So we can still enjoy the sun without being too worried about it burning our skin. And I think if we reinforce this idea that sunscreen is just a shield for us and something we can use to be able to stay outside longer, kids can become okay with the act of actually putting on sunscreen. If there's one thing I've learned from being a parent, it's consistency is tough, but it pays off in the long run. Making sure that they constantly hear you talking about how important sunscreen is, that just will naturally become part of their like regular thought process. So when it comes time to actually apply the sunscreen, there are a few things we can do to make it more fun. And I think that's the goal, is you want to make it more fun and not seem so much like a chore. We can make it a game. Who can rub in the sunscreen the best so it blends in with the skin? You can make up a silly sunscreen song. You can apply it in like little dots across their skin to see who can connect their dots the fastest. You can have them draw a picture with the sunscreen and rub it in. You know, those are just a few ideas, but the goal is to create a positive attachment to the memory of putting on sunscreen, so they're more likely to do it as they age, just like with swimming.
Those are such great tips, and I wish that I had had this about 10 years ago. I love that. I do think that involving them in the process and like giving them that explanation and letting them be part of the process, I feel like for everything as a parent, it takes more time. Sometimes it's really obnoxious, but if I will slow down and give them the explanation and let them participate in the process, it's usually easier in the long run.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I will confess that putting sunscreen on my 10-year-old is still exactly the same as putting sunscreen on him when he was two. It's still like wrestling an alligator. My other two have grown out of it, but he, for whatever reason, still, he'll do it, but it is painful for both of us. So how else can we protect our kids' skin and our own this summer, either in addition to or in lieu of sunscreen?
Sure. So again, you're not alone. I'm positive this is just a rite of passage for parents. It's just one of those things that you get through. Supplemental options for sunscreen include lightweight, breathable long sleeve shirts or pants, hats, sunglasses, things like that that you can use to cover the body, physically cover it and shield it from the sun. These are just a couple suggestions, but know that my own kids struggle with putting on sunscreen sometimes. So, I have some things that we've done that have seemed to help overall. But again, like I'm in the trenches with you. I get it. It can be hard sometimes. So what we do is we typically have the kids pick out their own summer clothing, like long sleeve swimsuits and shirts. Stores like Walmart or Target, they have some really good selections right now, actually. This is not sponsored by either of them, but they have a lot of options. I think if my kids get to pick out their own clothes, they're more likely to want to wear them and show them off. But I'll, you know, hold up the option, like, do you want this swimsuit or this swimsuit? And they're both long sleeve, right? Like, I'm not going to pay for something that's like a spaghetti strap and like nothing, basically. Because I, again, redhead, so maybe I'm very biased, but it matters to me to keep them clothed. So my daughter really likes the idea of sunglasses and hats, but she doesn't always want to wear them. I've found if I also wear a hat, she's much more likely to want to do the same, to be like mommy, right? We put hats on her dolls when they go outside to protect their scalps. My son, on the other hand, couldn't care less. He's fine no matter what he wears. So I guess every kid is different, but you know, the big thing there is like, know your kid, know yourself, know what you're able to show them, whether that's normalizing hats or sunglasses or long sleeves. They are always watching us, right? They're learning from us. So if we can subtly show them how we protect our skin, I think keeping that in mind is really important. Lastly, humor. I don't know a kid who doesn't like laughing. So when I start to get frustrated, because again, it can be so frustrating, like just give me your arm. I think they're kids, they're easily entertained. What could I do to make this entertaining? So if they're young, it's like, I could become a tickle monster who tickles parts without sunscreen. I could put it on my face sloppily. I do this with the older kids. I put it on my face sloppily and say like, does it look okay? You know, and they'll go like, no, you have to rub it in. And so I'll say like, okay, well, do it to me. I'll do it to you. So I think things like that go a long way. If they can see that you're doing this too, you're not just telling them to do something. You're in this with them.
That's such great advice. Absolutely. And I love the idea of giving them choices. With my 10-year-old, often the choice is, do you want to wear this long sleeve UV protective rash guard? Or do you want me to put sunscreen on your arms and your torso? You can pick. Yeah. And sometimes we both go for the shirt over the sunscreen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Like we still have some control over the situation, right? But I think giving them the ultimate last decision is crucial. I love that. Yeah.
Hydration is another important part of staying safe as a family this summer. This makes me think of, there's a meme going around about like kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s. We didn't drink water at all until we were like 30. And now our kids take water bottles everywhere they go. It's a different world and we're better for it. So yeah. How much water should our kids be drinking? How can we encourage them to get enough water, especially when we're spending a lot of time outdoors or maybe they're playing summer sports?
Definitely. So the recommendation for water will vary depending on the age. The older the kid, the more active the kid, the more water they'll need. The general recommendation is typically 6 to 8 cups a day if they're going to be outside. The other part of that, however, is avoiding those sugary drinks, because those can aid in dehydration. If they're drinking a sugary drink, they're not drinking water. So talk to their doctor, pediatrician, figure out if they've got a good recommendation. But, you know, I like to abide by the, if they're thirsty, then they need to drink some water rule. Because sometimes it's not like you're able to track like, okay, I think they've had 4 cups. It means they need 4 more. You know, you try to gauge how they're doing. So sweating helps us cool down our bodies. And so if we're not doing that, or they can't do that, then they're not consuming enough fluids. And so that's something to be looking out for, making sure that they're sweating and that they're going to the bathroom. Those are signs that they are drinking enough.
That's great. Okay, this is one that I forget every year as we head into summer. What is the difference between heat exhaustion and heat stroke? How do those symptoms vary? And what do parents most need to know about how to react?
Sure. So it's really important to know the signs of heat-related illnesses. Heat cramps is usually the first sign that something might be going awry. So they often happen due to exercise and extreme heat, and with that in combination of not drinking enough fluids. So if your child's complaining about stomach cramps, have them take a break and enjoy a glass of water in a cool shaded area. If you have access to go inside somewhere with AC, I would recommend that. Heat cramps is like the first sign. Next would be heat exhaustion. So I think of it, you know, the severity of cramps, mild, right? Exhaustion, like, that's rough. Stroke would be very severe. So exhaustion is that second level. And the symptoms there are, you know, excessive sweating. We talked earlier, like you want to make sure that they're able to sweat. If they are profusely sweating, that could be a sign of heat exhaustion. If when you feel their skin, if it's cold and clammy. It looks pale. They're not getting enough moisture. They're not getting enough nutrients to that the like through their limbs. That's a sign of heat exhaustion. If they have a really fast pulse or a really weak pulse, that's a sign. Nausea, vomiting. We talked about stomach cramps. Well, if it gets a little more serious and it gets to a point where they're saying they need to throw up or they do throw up, that's a big warning sign. Next would be dizziness. Are they able to stand and stare straight at you, or are they fainting? Are their muscles cramping? You know, these are all important signs of heat exhaustion, but if you suspect it, even if you suspect it, the safest thing to do is go to a cooler place. So whether that's somewhere in the shade with a breeze, or it's inside, or it's in your car with the AC on, get them to someplace much cooler. We want them to lie down and like loosen the clothing, because tight clothing can be restrictive. So that loose clothing can really help. Laying down is really helpful. If you have access to something like cool, wet cloths, putting that along the body. If you're going out to the beach or if you're going out to the lake, maybe pack in your ice chest, pack some ice packs maybe. You can wrap some towels around them if something happens. That way you've got the ability to keep them cool and manually cool their body down for them. Have them sip water. Again, we talk about the importance of water and heat. I can't overstate it enough. More is better here. So you should have some water with you wherever you are. Just encourage them to take sips. If they're having nausea or vomiting or they're feeling weak, you know, we don't want them chugging water, but sips will help. Let's say something, they're not getting better. It's progressing. It's getting worse. That is heat stroke. And so heat stroke is a medical emergency. You would want to call 911 if you suspect heat stroke. So something with heat stroke would be like top to bottom, like headache. Probably have a headache because they're severely dehydrated. They may even be unconscious. I doubt that you'll have a thermometer on you at the lake, but if you do, their temperature would probably be like 102, 103, something very high. That would make you think that they have a fever, right? Because their body is really struggling right now. They have a very, very strong, fast pulse, because their heart's doing everything it can to keep them going. Again, nausea or vomiting. I think it's important to say, like, is it a level 2 nausea vomiting? Like, are they having nausea vomiting with these exhaustion symptoms, or is it nausea vomiting and things are just not good? That's kind of a good differentiator, as you can kind of tell, I feel queasy versus like not being able to control it. And then a big one is no sweating. So we talked about the importance of drinking water and that allows your body to cool you down. But if you're not sweating, that means your body's trying to retain as much as possible and it's not letting that out. And so it's not cooling your body and it's this vicious cycle. So if they're not sweating, if they have really hot and dry skin, we talked about earlier with exhaustion, it would be cold and clammy. They've got the opposite. It's in heat stroke territory, and that's an emergency. So call 911. That's the first thing. And a lot of the recommendations are similar. You would want to move them to a cooler environment. You want to put the cold cloths on them. Now, this next one, you don't give them fluids. If you think they've got heat stroke, that it's that severe, and you have 911 on the way, which the dispatcher will likely tell you not to provide them with fluids, but just in case, if you really think it's stroke, you don't want to give them any fluids. So I know it's kind of a bummer to talk about, but it's really important because I feel like the summer months get so, so, so hot here and it's pretty dry. I'm from Houston, so I was used to that like hot, humid weather. And here it's drier. It's different. So I encourage everyone to talk to their pediatrician ahead of these summer activities. They may have a handout that you can use. You could take a picture of it or something, or you can go online and try to look up these symptoms and take some screenshots and save them. I have an album in my phone for like in case of emergencies. And so it's just like a cool resource I've got that if I ever, I haven't had to use it yet, knock on wood, but if I ever do, I've got these things that I don't have to use a lot of brain power to go to, because in these instances, this is your child. You're going to be concerned and you may not be thinking straight. And so having something ready ahead of time is so, so, so helpful. That's going to be really helpful in the long run.
That is a brilliant idea. I love that, to have that album in your phone that's ready to access that. Hopefully you don't ever need it, but it's there in case mm-hmm. you do, or if you have somebody else in your life that needs that information, you've got it ready to go. Thank you for going through all that, Kelsey. That was really, really helpful. And I feel like it's so important for all parents to get those reminders as we head into the summer months. So as we close out today, Kelsey, what is the most important message you want to leave with our parent listeners about enjoying the summer safely?
Sure. I think the theme throughout this whole conversation has been keep at it. The consistency is so important, and it's so worth it to know that you've done everything you can to keep your kids safe and protected. Consistently prioritize safety around water. Consistently put on sunscreen and encourage them to wear clothing that'll protect them from the sun. Consistently remind them to drink lots of water and to listen to their bodies. Being consistent, I think, is the best thing that we can do for our kids. And also I should mention that the why, we're filled with lots of caring and responsible staff who are phenomenal with kids, and they're trained on how to keep kids safe. And so they know what to watch out for. So I just want to say, if your child's enrolled in a program at the Y and you're hearing this and you may be concerned about their safety, whether it's sports or summer day camp or swimming lessons, what have you, they're going to be safe and they're going to be having fun.
So great. Thank you so much for joining me, Kelsey. This has been such an empowering conversation for our parent listeners. And I've learned new things today too. So thank you for bringing all of these safety tips to us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
And for our listeners, you can learn more about the programs we've discussed today, plus all the other family-friendly options offered by the YMCA of Greater Oklahoma City, plus where you can find a Y location near you at ymcaokc.org. Thanks everyone for listening. Join us next time on Raising OKC Kids.